We would invite you to have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 14. And I'll begin reading at verse 21. Brother Kirvin and I are glad to be with you this evening and trust God's blessing and guidance upon you as you go through this business meeting of the evening. Looking forward to Brother Kirvin's message based upon these verses. Chapter 14 of Matthew would bring to our attention how John the Baptist was killed, and then we have the feeding of the 5,000, and picking up at verse 21 of Matthew 14. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone away over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Jesus, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Did you ever ponder what would have gone through the minds of those disciples as they encountered and participated in such an event? Now, we too today are upon a boisterous sea of life. And we too can cry out, "Lord, save me, help me," in these varying situations that we face from day to day. We look forward to Brother Kirvin's message. All those who are able, would you kneel together as we pray.
Greet you in our Savior's name. It's such a privilege to be here tonight and to share in this special service in the life of your congregation. God is good. Are you still alive? In the name of Jesus Christ. Our church family at Heidelberg, we experienced Love Feast service this weekend, yesterday and this morning, and it was a great weekend, busy weekend for all that needed to happen. And now we're here tonight in the strength of the Lord, endeavor to share a message that brings hope, brings courage, and realize that what we have in our hands is something that we need to treasure and serve God faithfully. Entitled the message, "The Call of God." Start out with this scripture from Luke 9, verse 62. It says that Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Today we would visualize a plow that's hooked to a tractor and it goes down the field. But I don't think that's the plow that Jesus had in mind. I don't know that I ever grabbed a hold of this kind of a plow that Jesus had in mind here today. But it would have been a plow that you would have grabbed a hold of, had handles on, and there would have been a horse in front and pulling that plow through the field, and you were to hang on and guide that horse to where he needed to go. As I thought about that just briefly, I thought about, you know, as I hang on to the plow, who's the horse? It's likely Jesus Christ. And we just need to follow his leading. He needs somebody back there hanging on to that plow, guiding it where it needs to go. So as God calls four brothers and sisters to the office of deacon tonight, think about that you're just hanging on to what God has gifted you in, and he is going to lead you through the field. I want to encourage you to carry your responsibility with honor, with joy, not with, oh, why must I do this? I had a pastor friend that in the Mennonite congregation, Mennonite denomination, and I'm sure how familiar you are with how the Mennonites call brothers to serve in ministry or deacon. Typically, they would announce they're taking nominations, and on a certain date, say for today, they would have took nominations in their congregation, and then next Sunday they would have an ordination. And for somebody to be put in what they would call the lot, you would have to have 3 or 5 votes, depending on the size of the congregation. They would announce who that is, and so you would have this week of, what do I do? You know, you go through the week of varying experiences, varying thought life. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? How am I going to do this? And this pastor friend of mine said as he was in the middle of the week, he got a call from a friend out of state, maybe, I think, something like that. And he was talking to him, and he said, wow, what an opportunity to serve as a minister. That's awesome. And my friend wasn't really kind of in that boat. He was feeling the weight of the responsibility. And I kind of remember as a young person, I'm now middle-aged, so kind of getting over the hill, and when I was facing the call to ministry and thinking that God was probably going to call me and how am I going to do this, and growing up in a pastor's home and kind of knowing what was ahead of me, and you know, sometimes you can get in the rut that you don't portray the office that you're serving in as a joy. It's an honor to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you want to communicate that to the people you serve, that it is a real joy to serve the Lord. It's not a drudgery. Yeah, you might feel that sometimes, but when you're in front of your congregation, you want to communicate that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, and it is a joy to minister. What an awesome opportunity. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Brothers and sisters, here as you're called to the office of deacon this evening, I encourage you to find a scripture that will carry you when you do feel discouraged. What do you do when you don't feel like it? When your emotions are down, where do you go for help? Find a piece of scripture that you can always go back to. I think a verse that drove me for a while in my ministry years was 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ, what comes next? For the love of Christ constrains me. We read that tonight earlier. The word constrained, I don't know if it's the same Greek word, but I just noticed that it was here, and I'm trying to find it. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. You know what I mean? Oh, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat. So it's time for you to go on. We need to allow the love of Christ to move us. Do you know what Christ did for you? Have you really grasped that? You know, we need to be encouraged to know the love of Christ. It compels you. You might get a phone call some night and or someday that there's some work for you to do. For me, it's like coming home tonight and I'll go out and look at my cows, and if there's a cow having a calf, it's really not in my brain to help her. When I get home tonight, I hope everything's right and I'm going to go to bed. That's really what I want to do. In ministry, you're going to get a phone call and your pickup's falling off with all the stuff you have on. What's going to drive you? May the love of Christ and what he has done for you compel you. Ephesians 3 talks about Christ's love as well. And Paul said, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. And he continues on in that prayer. He says, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Then, as you experience the love of Christ, then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Have you experienced the love of Christ? You cannot minister unless you've been set free. There is no way, because then you're only doing it in your own strength, and when you're trying to do it in your own strength, it does not work. You must know what Christ has done for you. Those two verses were familiar to me. I had them in my head. And so I looked for another one from Jude. I came across this one. Jude 20, 21, and 22. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Find a verse that motivates you. When I remember one time one of our puppies went and jumped in our lagoon, and I had to preach that day, Sunday morning as well, and it's like I was disappointed that I allowed that to happen. I saw him playing nearby, and I went and didn't go rescue him when I had time. I was trying to get some work done quick and then maybe help them and hope they stayed out of the way, and I finally only saw one dog. What do I do? My son has lost his dog. I had to go to the Word of God to find hope, to find encouragement. Find a scripture that you can go to always. Get it in your head. This is why I continue to minister, even when my pickup truck seems to be running over. Maybe I need to throw everything off my truck, stack it more neatly, and then I can continue. So we look at our scripture tonight. God has called you. Those of you who are going to accept the office, remember the call is from God. For you as the congregation, God has called these people. It's not you as individuals. It wasn't this certain group of people. It wasn't this or that. It was the call of God. Who told Peter to come walk on the water? It was Jesus himself. Jesus told Peter to come. Psalm 75, 6 to 8 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the one who calls. Daniel reminds us of that in Daniel 2, 20 and 22. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. God is the one who sets up and sets down. Know that your call is from God. God is the one who asked you to serve. Serve it well. Peter walked on the water. You know, we notice in our scripture, Jesus, Peter fell because the winds got a hold of his mind. And then Jesus said, O ye of little faith, where dost thou doubt? Then verse 32, it says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Obviously, they weren't. Sometimes I picture this, and it comes maybe from Sunday school pictures, that Peter got one step out of the boat and maybe two steps on water. But apparently, it would give us, we can only envision how far they walked and how far they had to walk back to the boat. That's definitely up to our imagination. But from verse 32, as we just read it here to see, it would seem that Peter walked some distance, and then they had to walk back again some distance till he got into the boat. Remember, the work that you do for the church is walking on water. If you bring a solution to a wave, it was not your wisdom. God was empowering you to walk on water. The Lord's work is supernatural. Walking on water work, it is not done on your own strength. If God uses you, thank him. If God sets you in your place, thank him as well. Matthew 14:29, and Jesus said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. God is the one who enables us to do his work. So what happens after God called him? Peter's out walking on the water. Then what happened? Well, Peter started seeing some waves. Verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" The waves are going to come. There's going to be challenges in your ministry. Be ready for them. Allow them to help you grow. Use them as stepping stones to become more what God wants you to be. Waves come to increase your understanding, to increase your wisdom. It's not because you did something wrong, or you didn't think through something, or you didn't see something coming. They were to build your faith. What happened to Peter? Because he was the one that was willing to get out of the boat. Nobody else volunteered. He at least got out of the boat and trusted God for a piece. But what else did Peter do? Who was the one that stood up at Pentecost? Peter was the one that spoke. And 3,000 were saved. Peter remembered, I was able to walk on the water for some time. God is going to give me words to say. I doubt whether he prepared that message a week ahead or 2 weeks ahead. God gave him the words as he needed to speak. What do you do with the wave? What do you do when you see a wave coming and you don't know what to do? You call for help. Call upon Jesus Christ. I've looked up the words "call upon" in the King James Version. They're found 28 times. Psalms 91:14-15 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." When you see the waves, call on Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And here's another verse. If you need a verse to encourage you, John 16:33, you can write this one down. This is a great verse for when you're in a wave situation or a trial. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. We need to remember that. I have overcome the world. We're on the winning side. We need to encourage our minds. We need to build ourselves up. If we're going to minister, we build ourselves up in Jesus Christ and what he can do. The call came from God. Peter got out and walked on water. The waves are going to come. We need to call for help. What happened after the wave came and then it died down? Look at verses 32 and 33. It says, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Then notice, "And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Worship happens after the wave. Waves come, another reason again, they come so that we worship God. Maybe you're thinking you're having too many waves. Well, maybe you're not worshiping God enough. Maybe God wants you to grow some more and wants you to trust. Just keep trusting him another day, and eventually you will break through. When the water calms down, then worship the one who brought the wave, for the same one who now calmed the wave. Jesus brought the wave, and then he calmed the wave as well. So what must I do? If you're going to put the hand to the plow and not look back, You need to stir up your gift. You need to put your gift into action. You need to feed your gift. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance," Paul's speaking to Timothy, "wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I think the NIV says, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you." We named our homeschool Fan the Flame because we wanted to fan into flame the gifts that were in our children. Just as you, as well as new leaders starting out, leaders of experience, continue to fan into flame the gift God has given you. Sometimes you're going to have dry wood to work with. Just as Peter hopped out of that boat, he was walking on water right away. You know, sometimes you can light wood and it just takes right off. It doesn't have a, get the hot dogs roasting really quick. But then sometimes you have wet wood and you just can't, it just doesn't go. It takes more time. It takes more perseverance. You have to work at it a little longer. You have to trust God a little more. You have to get down there and blow on that little spark and maybe very carefully, don't blow too hard. Just try and get that heated up a little bit so that you start drying out the wood. You know, just persevere, fan in the flame what God has given you. Sometimes you have dry wood, sometimes you have wet wood to work with. When wet wood lights, that's when you again see and start worshiping God. Like 1 Thessalonians 5, a couple other verses. Maybe you want to look at them. These verses are good for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 to 13. First Thessalonians 5, verse 11 here first. It says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Edify one another. There's four couples here tonight being installed, and I would imagine you four are not alike. You four are gifted in different aspects. You excel in different things. One of you is going to be like Peter, who thinks he has to talk all the time, and one of you is not going to say a word. And you as board members know when the guy that doesn't say a word and he speaks, it's time to be really quiet and listen, because it's probably wise. Yeah, I just share that we're different. Some of us are going to get the glory and some of us are not. We still need to edify one another. I give the example of a baseball game. It's the bottom of the ninth. There's one out and there's runners on first and second. One of you is going to be asked to sacrifice a bunt, and you're going to do that well. You're going to get the bunt down. You're going to get the other runners to second and third, and you're going to go back and sit in the bench. Not a lot of glory there. Everybody's still chewing on their nails. You're still losing. One of you is going to come up and hit a double and score the two runs, and the game's going to be won. You're the one that's going to get the glory. How are you going to work together as brothers when something like that happens? "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Watch out for the demon of competition. Don't let it get in the way. Edify one another. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 there in 1 Thessalonians 5. And this, I encourage you as the rest of the congregation, those not involved in the official board, you might say, for this is for you. "And I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." I like to look at the word "to know." You're supposed to know these brothers, know these sisters. These words mean to perceive with the eyes. How do you perceive with the eyes? You have an interview with this person. You have them over for lunch or out for breakfast. Get to know them. Get to know what makes them tick. Why do they run? How can you encourage them in their work? Be supportive. Look for ways to bless them. Get to know them which are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I'd like to close with a couple of verses from Psalms 9. You may turn there as well. Psalm 9. It's good to see and hear. Know that God is on his throne, judging well. Psalm 9, verses 1 to 4. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging right. God is the one that's on high. He is orchestrating the events in each of our lives, and he will see you through whatever tasks you need to accomplish, whether you're serving in leadership or whether you're serving as a layperson in this congregation. God desires to use you. May the Lord bless us as we continue tonight. Brother Ray.
I want to thank Brother Kervin for his remarks. He spread his remarks out to include all of us, how God has called all of us and has a place for all of us in serving him. At this time, we will vote for the position of presiding elder.